Welcome to 247 Real Talk. I'm your host, Julian Perry. It's a pleasure to be here with you once again for the 247 Real Talk podcast. I hope you had a fantastic week since we last spoke. As you'll notice for those of you on the YouTube channel, that the backdrop logo is back up. Looks a little different, but trying to do a few things here to warm up the feel in the this in-home studio. And as I told you before, as I mentioned, there's a lot more production that's going to be coming out of the studio this year. And I'm happy and anxious to share it with you all. Again, I hope you had a great week. And even though this episode will air this Friday, the 16th, I'm recording it. It's 8.06 p.m. on Wednesday, the 14th. So by the time we listen to it, I wish you all a happy belated Valentine. I hope you had a great one with your loved ones. This week, I'm going to be sharing something personal again. I've got a lot of feedback from a lot of my listeners who like the fact that when I share myself with you and sort of identify our conversations by real personal experiences. So this one you might find profound, something very pensive, but I hope you do. So, you know, sit back, relax, and join me, and I'll be right back. So welcome back to the podcast again. For those of you who are just joining, for those of you who are brand new subscribers, and I've seen the numbers continue to tick up, and I'm so appreciative and grateful for all of you who have been sharing, subscribing, liking, commenting, and for all those new listeners out there who've decided to give me a chance to welcome them into our conversation and be a part of this movement that is real talk, real life stories, real experiences, none of the drama, none of the celebrities and all the things that people tend to think they want to listen to when they ignore the reality and dealing with real issues that can actually bring them betterment for themselves and for generations to come. So this week, as I said, I'm going to share something that's a part of me. I'm going to share it because it made me reflect on life. My father, my mother passed away many years ago. Some of you know, actually it's going to be 10 years this year. My father lives in South America. He has one sibling who lived in South America with him, and she passed away, a younger sister. Not by much. She was going to be 88 this August 31st. But she passed away on January 27th, and you know they had to wait for people to come in and from overseas, from the United States and Canada, brothers and other relatives, and yesterday, she was laid to rest. Now, when my mother passed, my mother really put a lot of effort into the home she had down there. And one of the things that my father insisted happen and actually did happen was as part of the process of the procession, I should say, when we left the church to go to the burial ground, the hearse drove past our home, his home, her home there, and paused for about a minute or two in front of the home, sort of saying, here's where you lived most of your life. You put so much into, not just physically in terms of the property, but into your family, love. And we thought you should pass you by it one more time, as a way of saying thank you, we love you, before we lay you to rest. Yesterday, my father made sure that the same thing was done for his sister. But her story was a little different. And as you stay with me, you'll understand where I'm going with this. It turns out that, you know, when she was born in 1936, it was that time where I guess people would, you know, children were born in the home. I guess what they called it, midwife or someone would come in and help birth the child in the home. So as it turns out, she was born in that house. On January 27th, this year, 2024, when she died in her sleep in her bed in that house. That means that she lived almost 87 and a half years in the same house. That by itself sounds pretty amazing, but there's more. My grandfather was very what you would call old school. She was, my aunt was his daughter, his young baby, and he sheltered her. So she, after she finished school, high school, he didn't want her to work. Back in his days, you're talking about, you know, she was 87, so you're talking about many years ago. He bought her a sewing machine, and he wanted her to become a seamstress at home. He didn't want her to go anywhere. She never used it one day in her life, as I'm told. She learned all the domestic skills which allowed her to cook for her mother and father, but she never worked a day in her life. He always took care of her. My grandfather died at the age of 90, and I can't tell you what year, but it's got to be between 15 and 20 years ago, I believe. Or a little bit, yeah, somewhere around that. And after that, my father, he left her on a property, a large property in South America where there were two houses, and so two-story houses, so she would get the rents from everyone else. She lived in an upstairs flat of one of them. And that allowed her to live comfortably. And whatever her shortcomings were financially, my father took care of them. And so this is what occurred for her entire life. She never worked. She never had a boyfriend. She never was in a relationship. Now, I know right away a lot of people are saying, whoa, she never got to live life. And I think I felt the same way for a while until something happened that changed my mind a bit. I'm turning down my audio a bit because I have to tell you all, I'm working with new equipment. I have a new soundboard and I'm still learning the ins and outs of it. It's the Mackie DLZ Creator XS, which is the smallest version to the one I'd normally use. I'm hearing a little sound in my ear, in my ears, but hopefully that's not bothering you that much. So while I had the same thoughts, you're probably saying, oh, he smothered her. He sheltered her to the point that she didn't experience life. I felt the same way until I got the videos and stuff from the funeral yesterday that they were sent to me. As I looked at the people who attended her funeral, and as I heard people's comments, she was seriously loved by just about everyone on her block and everyone in her neighborhood. And one of the comments that seemed to repeat over and over again is not only how simple she was, but how genuine she was. And I began to realize that what we called sheltering and smothering and depriving of maybe these things we seem to enjoy in life, what happened to her was a lot of her senses remained pure. It made me think about where we are in life and actually how much the influence of politics and this nasty time and environment that we live in impacts our lives so much that we worry and we struggle and we argue when we're invigorated in one way or the other by something that's happening, sometimes done by someone whom we can't speak to, we can't reach, but the influence in our lives and we're upset and then someone else is on the opposite side, like in politics. And then we're dealing with a government who has decided that they're more interested in their games in Washington. You know, it made me realize that someone who stayed away from all of that lived a beautiful, happy life. She was happy. She loved to laugh. And it was like she was happy every single day of her life. And near the end of her life, when she decided that she was ready to rest, and she got a little bit of diabetes, she had high blood pressure in the end, so she was struggling a little bit with some illnesses. Her only request was, I'm ready to go home. Go home to see and be with my mother and my father. The power of what her life represents, the power of simplicity, that while we would say we would never want to live this way because it was void of all these things, these so-called things that we enjoy, there's a side of it, of her life, that was so pure. Again, so void of who is president and who is challenging and this bill and that bill and because she was taken care of so carefully and so lovingly, she didn't experience the corruption that we do each and every day that causes the corruption in our own lives. I get the opportunity to speak to many people on many things. You know, one of the beauty of a podcast is people are always coming to me with topics. People are always discussing topics. Some weeks when I come to speak with you, I can't figure out what to say because my head is bombarded with so many things people want me to talk about. I actually had someone, I digress for a moment, I had someone say to me yesterday, I'm so glad that you stopped having guests. And I think I had one celebrity. I won't call his name because I don't want to single him out. But it's like, I'm so glad you don't do that. There's all these shows and all these podcasts that are dealing with celebrities. Celebrities are human beings just like you and I. And many times their perspective is actually tainted because of the world they live in. People actually tell me that they enjoy the purity of this podcast because it is me talking to you. People will email me and say, I didn't agree with you. And we'll go back and forth on WhatsApp or email. At the end of the day, no one is angry. And to be honest with you, I've learned a lot from my listeners who shared their opinions, their experiences with me. It allows me to have a more engaging conversation with you and speak more intelligently when I do get the chance each week to come into your lives and into your homes. But getting back to my aunt and how pure her life was. And I'm sorry if you're hearing a background noise. It's really, really cold in New York. It's in the teens tonight, and I think the heat is coming up. And I can't turn it off in here because I'd be freezing. But as I continue to ponder her life, I realize, like I said, as I think about New Yorkers, yesterday there was a special election to replace the ousted Republican member of the House of Representatives from New York, George Santos, the one who lied and cheated and deceived his way into the House of Representatives, but it couldn't avoid the expulsion once his lies fell apart, and lies always do. But the race here was between Tom Suozzi, who have actually spoken to, although he mightn't remember, and Mazie Phillips, I believe her name was. And as you watch this special election unfold, the division in who we are as people was so evident as people drew distinct lines against each other. And as the methodology to winning or campaigning seemed to be more of spewing hatred and anger and riling up a ready divided base in the hopes of winning enough votes. I have to admire Tom Suozzi's position and the speech he made And I think whether you're, if you're a decent Republican, if you're an independent, if you're a Democrat, you know, we're not talking about what he may actually get there and do. We're talking about the fact that he tried to keep it about the need to unite and work together. It's amazing, as I listened to some other podcasts and I got some information from them and discussions, and it dawned on me that they were right about certain things. And one of those things is there are many people who run for office because what Washington represents today is not helping us. What it represents is if you've got a ton of bills, if you're struggling, but you have that political headwind and you can get into office, then you got all these lobbyists and, you know, the pharmaceutical companies and all these people who are lobbying you and your vote. And you go in there poor and you come out rich. You go in there in the negative and you come out way in the positive. And it seems like more the effort to get to Washington is about self-preservation than it is about for the people or by the people for the people. In the meantime, we worry. We worry about where our meal is coming from the next day. We worry about when our kids go to school, are they getting a good education? Are they going to be bullied? Are they safe? Is the school going to have an active shooter? We worry about how are we going to pay for the transportation costs, the child care costs. We worry about how are we getting them through college, because look at the mess that the student loan of the student loan situation. We worry if they're children, we are people of color, as to when they come out of college, what are they going to do and how much of systemic racism are they going to face? We worry about if we get the wrong candidates in Washington, does it mean that our children will really suffer and all that we fought for to get past to bring us more to this, the level playing field? As Martin Luther's dream, I have a dream that one day, we worry about our mortgage and our rent. We worry about our car payments. Some people I know keep their homes cold because they're worried about the heating bill in the winter. And they sit there with fans running because they worry about the electricity bill when running an AC in the summer. They worry about health care. They worry about their jobs and their unkind bosses they have to work for. They're unhappy and unhealthy work environments they go to each and every day just to make ends meet. They worry that they may never meet, not forget about the American dream, even their dream, because of all these external forces. If you had could trade all of that for the simple life that my aunt Faye Perry, that was her name, F-A-Y-E Perry, the simple life she lived for 87 and a half years, void of all those worries. If you'd ask her, the only sadness she experienced was the death of her mother and her father and my mother. Outside of that, she lived a life of laughter and joy, a life that was so sheltered that while we would turn our noses up to it, her life was uncorrupted. And because of that, she was uncorrupted. And because of that, many of the people in her neighborhoods and her block and her tenants, everyone loved her, because when they were dealing with all the challenges and the anger and the fights and the turmoil of their days, they could go sit with her and have a simple conversation. And she was well-versed. She read, she could read, she could speak the Queen's English. So you could have an intelligent conversation with her and laugh. She loved to go out in places and laugh. She loved to go out with her brother and laugh. She would speak to my father 5 times a day on the phone and they would laugh. My father took care of her for the last 30 years above whatever, you know, her the income provided from the rent, to make sure that she never had a want or a need. In the latter years, when she could no longer cook for herself, my father had food cooked and sent to her every single day for years. The joy of having someone in your life that you could turn to and that person didn't look like all the rest of us look. These faces that if we smiled, it's just for a moment. Our faces are more screwed up or filled with stress or concern or worry. How many of us can say in a 24-hour day that we spend most of it in a place of joy and laughter than we do in worry and concern for everything, even things we can't control? As we get closer to November this year, I can imagine the tenseness that will ramp up in this nation as the dirty politics and the anger and the hatred of two sides. Again, it is bewildering to me when someone on one side is willing to do bodily harm, even kill someone with an opposite belief over a candidate who they have never met, will never know, and actually individually couldn't care less about them or the people that support them. It's all about the aristocracy in Washington. It has become an aloof society that overlooks the rest of the country and thumbs their noses at them once you enter that upper room, that upper level of aristocracy that makes you above all else. Look at the corruption trials. Look at the bickering of one side against the other. Look at those who say, I get in trouble or I get indicted for a real crime. So to balance it out, we're going to fabricate a crime on the other side. So make sure the scales are easy. And this is both sides of the aisle. I'm not being biased here. I'm saying we have a Washington, a capital filled of politicians who have no interest in you and me. So me sharing with you in this episode about my aunt, may she rest in peace, it's personal to me. And it should be what I share with you should be enough for you to think and think about how you live each day. Reevaluate what is really important. Start finding the joy in your loved ones, in your children, in your spouses. Start prioritizing so that we can drown out some of the noise of things that are purposely trying to poison your space and your life. And start recognizing how beautiful it would be if we could actually live the lives we were supposed to and enjoy as much laughter and joy as we could. Remember, for those of you like me who are spiritual, or whether you are or not, none of us escapes the challenges of life. None of us escapes illnesses. None of us escapes trials and tribulations. It is how we live through them, how we treat each other, how we find love in the darkest places that will actually be the true value of our lives. Every single day you read about people with money, people in Hollywood, people, you know, business people who are committing suicide. Recently, there's been several cases where it's been murder-suicide, where the husband has come home and taken out his entire family, young children and spouse, because of the pressures of society. Those things could never resonate with my aunt. Because of something done to her that all of us would say is wrong and despicable, she lived a life happier than most of us ever will. And most of us who really want happiness would strive to achieve in a world that has become corrupted and tainted and fights against us for each day of happiness and each moment of happiness. So my message to you today is a tribute and in honor of my aunt who passed away and who was buried yesterday, Faye Perry. I am blessed and honored to have had the vision of her life. That this day, one day after she was laid to rest, the power of how she lived and who she was and the purity she represented resonates deep within me. Because despite everything that I have, the home, the family, the kids, if I don't learn, just like you need to learn, to find the value in each and every one of those relationships, each and every moment of our lives, each and every interaction, to find a way to turn away from anger when anger is pulling us in, to find a way to turn away from divisiveness when it is making its presence so felt that it's forcing us to or pushing us towards making the choice of one side or the other. In many cases, even when we know the side that we're choosing for, we're choosing not because we agree with that side or love what it represents, but we're choosing it because it opposes the other. We're early in 2024. None of us knows when or we will leave here, how long we have. I implore you to listen to this episode and listen to what I've said and listen to what I've said about her life. And while many of you would say she could have become, if you had allowed her to go to college, if you allowed her to get a job, you allowed her married, look at all the wonderful things she missed. I guarantee you, if you got to speak with her the day before she died, the moment before she died, she would tell you how wonderful her life was. And to her, none of those things matter because every single day she felt happy. Every single day she got to laugh. And every single day was a joy for her. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that her experiencing marriage and children and all that would not have been one too. But what I am saying is that rather than look at any negatives in her life, not having been married, not having kids, not having worked, she found a joy in who she was. And she enjoyed a greater happiness by being uncorrupted by what those things would have exposed her to. Whether you agree with me or not is actually not important at this moment. Because I knew my aunt. I was there in South America last November. And when I saw her, I didn't have a premonition, but I hugged her. And I hugged her. And I hugged her. And I hugged her. And it felt so good. She sat and she spoke with me. And the simplicity of that moment was void of all the turmoil of the world. It was like she was someone out of an angel. Someone so uncorrupted that you couldn't even broach the conversation of politics, not because she didn't know or she didn't see the news or read, but because she kept herself focused on her joy and didn't allow anything to disrupt her happiness. Like I said, when my mother died, when her mother died, when her father died, those are the three times I saw her in pain. And imagine that. She was in inexplicable pain. And I can imagine the sadness she felt at those moments because she lost someone who was part of her joy. Sometimes we need to recognize that all the things we seek in life come with a price. And maybe, just maybe, without them, we would truly be the happy beings we're meant to be. I thank you for the opportunity to share something really personal to me, very touching to me. Losing someone is always hard. And my father repeats over and over again what a beautiful sister she was. I am honored and privileged for being able to experience her as my aunt and have her in my life. I can reflect for a moment as I close on her babysitting myself and my brother when we were children and my parents wanted to go out. It was amazing to think back about these days. It is amazing to think back about those days. I recognize who she was then and who she was at the moment before she closed her eyes. And I can honestly say the only thing that changed about her was that she aged and she got gray and she lost her sight in one eye. Otherwise, even with the one eye, her laughter would penetrate your soul and remind you what life is truly all about. As always, it is my pleasure to be here with you, to experience these conversations, and to do it in a way that is void of all the fluff and the sparkle of the world. We have pure conversations. We talk about things that make a difference in our lives, and I hope that each time you listen to me, you leave with some sort of impact, whether it be I changed your life, whether it be I added value to your life, or whether it be I discussed something that you want to discuss more because you feel that if we get to a certain place in debate, it will make a positive difference. I accept it all, and I humbly accept the honor and privilege of being your 247 Real Talk podcast. Thank you so much for allowing me into your space wherever you are. Have a safe and blessed week ahead. Do subscribe, do like, do share. Thank you for those who have been doing this. I look forward to an amazing year of amazing conversations as we go into the lion's den, so to speak. But I will always keep this as real talk and give you the best of myself each and every time I get in front of this camera and behind this microphone. Until the next time, take care of yourselves, and please take care of each other. Thank you.